Hey friends, it's Britt, and welcome to Get Your Coffee, Get Your Day. I consider myself the ultimate morning person, and I hope this podcast will make you a morning person too. I'm serious. I live by this mantra, hashtag GYC, GYD. There is something so sacred about the early hours of the day, and there is nothing I love more than practicing my morning routine with a good cup of coffee. Whenever I start my day this way, I am sure to have the best day ever. Join me here for discussions of all things coffee, obviously, mental health, movement, mindfulness, and other topics to motivate you while having some fun. So if you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, do all the things, and pass this on to someone you love because we could all use a little extra pep in our step. Hashtag get your coffee, get your day. So introducing the wonderful Taylor, Taylor in Mexico City. You're a creative, you're an artist. I mean, feel free to take the floor and just share who you are and what you've been up to. I didn't even know you were in Mexico City.
I thought I had blasted my location on the interwebs, but maybe not enough. Wait, you're really not going to tell me anything else about the show?
No, I'm not. No, basically, we're talking about, I want to know where you are right now, what you're up to, but then also, like, in remembering college, that that time period, maybe things that you would have liked to have known, self-care practices that you wish, that you wish you would have had in place, gray moments, stories, what it was like when you were in college, what that transition was for you, because I know for me, because it's part of my dialogue and story, like it was really challenging for me. And that's where my anxiety and depression popped up. And I share that in my keynotes that I give to college students. And it's not that I'm detached from it. And it's not that I am not sensitive to it, because it's very much still, like, it's shaped who I am. But I forget how hard it really is. Plus now we're in the age of, like, digital wellness and everything. And I was reminded of this yesterday because I had one of the girls that I taught yoga to at Pepperdine, actually, who she's just so awesome. And she was sharing some of the stuff she's going through. And I was just like, oh my God, I remember.
And I feel like it's amplified with digital. Like when we were in college, digital was like just starting, like Instagram in a sense was just kind of getting its footing. And now it's like, who are you if you don't have an Instagram, which is crazy to think about.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can introduce myself. Sorry for that.
Probably good that I share that with you, because you're like, all right, cool. Maybe Britt and I are just catching up via a Zoom on a podcast.
Which is recording in progress. I'm Taylor Camille. I, as Britt mentioned, am a writer. I'm a podcaster. I'm a producer. I'm a creative just person who likes to make things on many mediums and help people find peace is really my kind of goal right now. I think life can be so tumultuous. There's like a meme going around that was like adulting. I can't remember what it said exactly. I hate the word adulting, but just like if someone had told me that being an adult was just life throwing things at you all the time, every day, I would not have signed up for this. It's something like that is the gist. And it's just like completely like none of us would. We always think that we're going to like get to a target and then we'll be done, but it's really not the case.
Don't and you feel like we're in a Pokemon game. We're just like, Pac-Man. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Pac-Man. Yeah, it's Pac-Man with the ghosts everywhere. It is just like, I can't run from this. So, yeah, you're Pac-Man. So, yes. And I just feel like, you know, trying to give ourselves reminders that, like, we can get to wherever our, like, our, I don't know, peaceful self is, despite all the crap that will never stop coming.
What is inspiring you right now, just in general in life?
Inspiring.
Talk about an open-ended question.
Yeah, that's a
many directions.
That's a big one. Inspiring me in life right now. I'm inspired by a lot of things. I mean, I feel like I can get overly stimulated. But words like poems have really been inspiring me lately. I really couldn't tell you a specific one, but I think when I read the way we kind of, or like even when I write my own poems and like just put things on paper, that is really a source of inspiration. I literally neglected my journal for 21 days. And I just started writing again yesterday night. And it was just like when a friend texted me like, hey, have you been journaling? And I was just like, I didn't even text her back. I was just like, all right, let me get after this. That's been really inspiring lately. Does that count? Does
that totally count? That's perfect. Actually, I haven't been journaling either. And something that I talk about in my keynotes is I always do a gratitude list. I call it an appreciation list, but I actually have an extensive journaling process that I do every single morning. And I've gotten lazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't do mine for about a month. I know you said 21 days, and I just had to refocus and reshift and start implementing that again. And really, it has made such a difference in a positive way in my mornings.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even last night I journaled, I was like, I need to be, this is something that we always hear all the time, but like putting it in practice is crazy. But I was like, tonight I want to have my phone charge outside of my bedroom. Like, I don't want to grab it first thing in the morning. I want to grab my journal first thing in the morning. So in order to do that, I have to like be intentional about that. And so I put my phone out in the kitchen, and I literally woke up this morning and almost forgot about my phone. Made some made some breakfast, like did all the things that I've been wanting to do before grabbing my phone. And then I was like, wait, where's my phone? Like, fully forgot about it. And that just felt so good. But it's hard. It's really hard when you're trying to be dialed in and you're trying to, like, sometimes we get inspiration from our phones too. And so, like, you know, but I think doing the stuff that you want to do first helps let all the inspiration come in sooner than being, you know, distracted.
Totally. And I actually think having a block or having some time in the morning without looking at it immediately, without being stimulated electronically, like maybe you're stimulated by the journaling practice or by meditation, or even just, you know, being present with your cup of coffee, tea or coffee, it kind of sets a foundation for your day. So then you can be grounded as you go into those other practices. I'm curious, exactly. Do you actively read as well? You mentioned reading, but are you?
Okay. So when I saw you last time, you had suggested some books. I haven't even read those books, and reading, I mean, I have picked up some books recently. Like, one I'm reading right now is called Rest is Resistance. I can't remember the author's name right now. Why is that a thing? I'm literally going to Google it. And it's a newer book. Her Instagram is The Nat Ministry, Trisha Hersey, Rest is Resistance. And that book is so good. She literally opens the book by saying, I hope you're reading this laying down. And it's like, this is the book for me, you know, like, and it's just like trying to help you remember that, like, you don't need to be productive all the time, and that, like, rest is also important so that you can show up as your best self when you are being productive. And like, that is what's anchoring me right now, that book. I'm reading some other books, just sort of trying to like understand myself more. A friend of mine recommended this book called The Highly Sensitive Person. And I'm thinking I might realize I'm a highly sensitive person, that like things that bother other people don't, like, they bother me in a big way. And other people are like, well, that's not a big deal. And I'm like, that's a huge deal. But so learning how I can show up romantically and in friendships, and like knowing that, like, what I need, you know, which I think is very important, and I haven't really taken the time to do. So yeah, reading is coming back into my practice. I think there was a time where I was like, especially as a writer, I'm like, if I read other things, it won't, all of my ideas will go away. And it's just not true. So it helps you and stimulates you and like enlighten you in other areas. It's not one or the other.
Totally. It's something I would like to do more of. So you're inspiring me. If I had to answer that question, you would be inspiring me to pick up a book and read. And the thing is, like, I get so excited purchasing the books. I'll be like, yes, this is it. And so I'll purchase it. And then I'll get it and I'll read the back. And I'm so excited. I'll start the book. And maybe I'll be like 2 or 3 days in. And then I'll be like, pause. And then some time will go by. And then I'll do the same with another book. And so I have all of these books.
I think that's okay because sometimes there's like passages that are applying to you in a certain part of your life, and then you'll pick it up and rediscover and maybe reread something. And like, it just, I don't think for me, yeah, I haven't finished a book. I cannot tell you last time I finished a book, but start. I'm a great starter.
I'm so glad to know I'm not alone in that.
No.
The book about feeling and big feelings, I'm curious, when people tell you mentioned it, that, it's not a big deal and you're like, hey, it is a big deal. Is that something that bothers you, or is that something that you have learned not to let bother you? Because I know for me, that used to bother me. And now I just accept it. Now I'm like, no, that fucking matters to me.
It matters. I think, yeah, I've grown to accept it. I think, not to blame my mother, it's not really a bad thing for her, but I don't know when you maybe were told you're first sensitive, but I remember like my mom being like, you're being really sensitive right now, like kind of like toughen up. And now I'm like, I can embrace that I'm sensitive and like I don't need to be like hard. Like I can let people know that really bothered me. I'm removing myself from this situation if this behavior continues and this doesn't serve me, because it's okay. I think it's okay to be sensitive. The other thing that came up with my friend that I talked about was I was telling her, I'm really easy. I don't need a lot. And she's like, no, I'm the opposite. I need a lot of things. And I think especially as women, like we so often want to be like easy and like, what is like agreeable,
Accommodating.
accommodating.
Yes.
And then it's like, no, you can have your standards. Like it's okay if you like kind of need a nice hotel when you're traveling. Like that you should say something, not all of us can rough it. And that's okay. That's your standard,
I had this conversation with my boyfriend when we first started dating because he didn't say it in a bad way, but he was like, your self-care practices, because I have a lot of them. He's like, those, there are a lot of those. And I was like, yeah. They're my non-negotiables, and I stand by them, and I won't live my life without them.
No.
And some of them are expensive, but you know what? They make me feel good.
They make me feel good, and those are the things that I need to feel like grounded, to feel safe, to feel like I can keep going. Like those are important things. So I think identifying those, and I think like, yeah, embracing your sensitivities, embracing your quirks, like you need to do that. Like that's not a thing that you should hide or people please or shapeshift to like make that happen. Like you could have easily with your boyfriend been like, okay, well, I'll be
I
less high
have in the
maintenance.
past, not with that specific situation or with him, but like in past relationships, I have tried to make myself more accommodating to the situation. I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
And I think that comes with age, honestly. I think it's something that 5 years ago, I even like would not. I would be like, wait, what? No, let me like make it more comfortable for everyone else. And I'm still learning. Sometimes I do fall into that, but like I'm trying more to just be like my most expansive self.
No, totally.
Yeah.
When you were in college, just to reference it back to that, did you have those boundaries, or did you have that strong sense of self and
Oh
that
my gosh.
acknowledgement and awareness now?
Oh my gosh. No. It was all about like fitting in and like doing, and I think where we went to college also is just such a like what do they call it? Like not a petri dish, but
It's a bubble.
it's such a bubble.
It's a bubble.
It's such like a social experiment, honestly. It's almost like Big Brother, but college version. Like you're stuck
Totally.
on this campus. I mean, now it's a little different. There's Ubers that can get you out of Malibu and like all this stuff. And obviously, very privileged to even say we went to school in Malibu. But it also just comes with such a it's such a strange territory, right? Like there's this religious aspect. So you're like, do I need to be very faithful? Do I need to like be prominent and like show off that I'm faithful? Like, do I need to join this social group to fit in? Like, what are people doing on the weekends? Like, how can I get in with them? And so there's like just a lot of like social currency, I feel like, that's being exchanged. And it makes it hard to like show up as your full self and expect to be accepted, right? Like, so you're always trying to shapeshift and fit in.
Truly.
You said that perfectly. Did you have insecurities fitting in? The only reason I ask that is because I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it wouldn't be an issue, but at the time, like, I come from a very, like, as normal as we can be, family, you know? And yeah. I will never forget one of my friends to this day, who you probably still know, and I love him. He would, like, on a Tuesday, he would be like, do you want to go to Nobu for dinner? And I was like, I can afford McDonald's.
Yeah, it's like not the average college experience. I think
you can't do that.
Even our peers at like LMU or UCLA or USC, I don't even think they had as much of a like in your face affluence. Yes. To reckon with at that age. Yes. Like, usually college is for like having ramen and just like bootstrapping some stuff together. But the kids that we went to school with literally came from a different world. And so there's all this reconciling of like, do I match? Like, do I fit? And it's just like, why are you even trying?
Self-worth to that at the time. On top of everything else that was going on, I equated that with me not being like worthy enough. And my parents mm-hmm. didn't raise me that way. They never made me feel that way. It was my own insecurities being around mm-hmm. all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely very hard. I mean, I joined a sorority my junior year, really for the reason of like trying to fit in, trying to, well, one, prove to a guy who told me like, you can't get into any sorority. Like, you're not cute enough. You're not this. And I was like,
wait, I'm going to get that to you.
Yes.
Yes. Never knew that.
Yes. And so that was kind of my ammunition. Like, fuck you. I'm going to do all this stupid rush shit. And I'm going to get into a sorority. I didn't even really care which one. But when I got into the one I got into, I was just like, oh, yeah. Like,
which I made it into
Kappa Kappa Gamma, which like was like the premier Pepperdine sorority. Like talk about rich. It's like fancy, but also very down to earth girls. I will say like those girls came from affluence, but truly like I felt like there was, I got your back, you know, and it didn't feel phony.
It's so interesting you say that because I've been now over the last year working with a lot of sororities from a bunch of different schools, different parts of the country. I have mm-hmm. to shout out the Pepperdine Kappa girls because even now they are the most polite, so respectful, professional, like I keep going back to the word respectful, but they have been wonderful.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I mean, it's like, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. I think people can look at Kappas through the years probably and be like, oh, those girls are just like pretty girls. It's like, no, these girls are very ambitious, very smart, very like, yeah, just dedicated and learned a lot of things. And obviously sometimes there's drama and sometimes there's like people that do things that aren't so cool. But for the most part, it was like, okay, I'm happy to have like experienced this part of college here, especially because at Pepperdine, it felt very hard to like be social outside of Greek life, for me at least.
No, it was. And I think it goes back to the isolation for those that don't know. It's beautiful, mm-hmm. like you said, but you're on a hill, you're in the middle of Malibu. I think it also is because it's a commuter campus. So mm-hmm. It's not like UCLA or USC where everybody's living on campus. People mm-hmm. live in Calabasas or in mm-hmm. Malibu or in Santa Monica. So everyone's spread out. Mm-hmm. So you really do have to find community within the larger community.
Yeah. And there's no like communal activities, even like men's volleyball, but there's no like football or like tailgate. It's a dry campus. And when we went to school, there was, no Uber. Like, it's just like, if you live on campus, you're kind of stuck there, you know? So it's just, I don't know. It was a tricky place to manage and to navigate for sure. It had its own rules.
What is one thing that you wish you would have known specifically related to the guy who told you that you weren't pretty enough or good enough to get into a sorority? What a dick, by the way.
He's such a pompous asshole, like, honestly, like, so entitled, but also grateful for him because, like, I did something that was out of my comfort zone that I didn't think that I could do, that I thought I wouldn't be accepted to do. But to answer your question, what would I do in hindsight? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of proud of myself even in hindsight, because it would have been so easy to just accept that and be like, you're right, I don't fit the status quo of, like, the sorority chick. Like, let me just keep being my, like, nerdy self over here, you know? But instead I was like, let me try and see what happens. I don't have to do it, but, like, let's just try. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, like, in that moment, I obviously wish I would have probably said something back. I didn't say anything back to him. I was just kind of like accepted it and silently and just kept it moving, you know?
I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, Taylor, 2012 Taylor was just like a different, that's 10 years ago. That's a whole different precious, like, naive human, seriously.
I was just telling somebody, I wish I could have done college, like, started college 3 years ago. Like, I wish. I think the Europeans and the Australians have it right, at least
do it right.
Year to travel.
Yeah.
I extended that out to, like, 9 years of life, but, like, now I feel like I could really take on campus and maximize it to the best of its ability.
Well, you are taking on campuses now.
I am. I'm going back. I'm righting my wrongs, and I am just doing things how I would have just from a leadership position, not the student. That's okay. That works.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm so curious. Why are you in Mexico City?
Oh, well, because... Well, I put all my stuff in storage last September. So I've just been very nomadic. Yeah. And then I haven't been to Mexico City since before the pandemic. The last time I was here was 2019. And I love Day of the Dead. And I think for me, and I've been just, like, actively grieving, I feel like, since 2018, like, it's just such a nice time to, like, celebrate people who are no longer with us, to try to welcome them back home. And I don't know, it just feels like a very celebratory and festive time. I'm also a big foodie, so Mexico City just, like, lights on fire.
It's incredible.
It's so good. I'm trying to eat a taco a day, a fish a day, like, everything. And then my friend moved here, and she was in just our fantastic 30-year-old lives. She was in Paris for work, and she has a dog, so I was like, I can puppy sit for a week until you come back. And so that's kind of what I'm doing.
So you're puppy sitting in Mexico while eating tacos on the daily.
And working from here. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. Like, my mom was like, I'm going to have your life when I grow up. Like,
no, that's incredible. Are you, so you are still podcasting. Like, where can people listen to you? Where can people find you?
Yeah. So in the new year, I hope to bring back my podcast Beyond Ourselves, but until then, I'm creating wellness content for Well and Good, co-hosting their podcast that drops every Wednesday. So you can find my voice there sometimes on the Well and Good podcast. I hope to bring back Beyond Ourselves in 2023. But as you know, podcasting is just a labor of love. It's just, you know, it's not easy to get out of our heads and to, like, get things recorded. So
do you have imposter syndrome with it? Because yes. I do.
Well, yes. I think I'm getting over imposters. I think, no, I'm not. I almost am never over. I want to do a talk, though, about imposter syndrome and about, like, how we can all just believe that we're already the sauce. And I think that a lot of, especially new creators, need to, like, hear that and hear it again. Like, even though we kind of know, the voice is just so loud that we need other voices to, like, help bring it down. I'm prioritizing rest, honestly. Like, I think that I have in the past been such a go, go, go person. And until I get kind of like some extra hands or whatever, it's like, no, you gotta prioritize rest over like production and like doing all the things.
You know what? One of my favorite yoga teachers taught me this saying. It's so simple, but like it's the rest thing. She was like, we need to stop in order to start. And I was just like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever that stop looks like for however long that is for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta stop, because in the stopping, your thoughts get slowed down. Everything becomes a way more clear, less cluttered. Like all the tabs close. Scary thought. All the tabs close, and you just have to, you know, when you start, you can start fresh, and you can like actually kind of know where you're supposed to go, or like be more intuitive rather than feeling so like bogged down by all the things you have to do.
I also think stopping can be intimidating because, for exactly what you said, it's confronting. It's mm-hmm. so easy as an avoidance tactic to stay busy, to stay busy, to stay busy. I know that because I used to be that person. I used to be, yeah, like, no, I'm good, I'm fine. I'm involved in so many different things. And generally speaking, I am somebody that I am better in my life when I am productive and have a schedule and things going. But I do think there is a difference between when it's like a healthy productive versus just like a busyness to stay busy. And just to slow the momentum down so you can restart fresh.
And be intentional with your restart, right? Like, it's one thing to just like churn for just to do it. But then you lose like the purpose of it. Like, what is the purpose?
And that's kind of why I stopped the initial Dancing with the Gray podcast. Like, I was doing it and I was liking it, but I wasn't loving it, and not loving it for what I was producing. Just like, I wasn't personally resonating with it. And that didn't feel in flow, and that didn't feel an alignment for me. So, you know, I have been resting. It's funny that you said that with the podcast space, and then just needing to get over my own self with remembering I am the sauce.
Yeah, you're the sauce.
And being like, yep, that's starting again.
Exactly. And also that, like, I think with podcasting and just being a creative in this digital world, like, it's okay to have like an end. Like, Dancing in the Gray, it's okay for that to have an end. Or like, if this podcast, I don't pick up my Beyond Ourselves again, it's okay. It had its time, and like, it had its end. Some things need to end. And I think we're so used to things being always on, and it's like, no, I think it can also just serve its purpose. Like, you know, books that we don't read have an end.
Exactly.
But there's an end, you know?
It's your end.
Yeah.
You said that so well. We came so full circle there. I'm curious, before I let you go here, what's your coffee order?
Okay. My mom thinks this is so funny, because I'll tell her like, oh, I just went out for coffee, and she knows I don't drink coffee. And so every time she's like, what? And I'm like, well, you know, like, it's either a soy chai latte with oat or soy milk. So I said that, soy chai latte, blah, blah, blah. Or it's a matcha. If it's the summertime, it's usually iced matcha lemonade. If it's the cozy time, it's usually like a matcha with oat milk. But there's not many places that make it good. In LA, Hilltop makes the best matcha.
What's Hilltop?
Oh my God, you've got to go. It's Issa Rae's coffee shop. It's in Inglewood. Yeah, and you can like co-work from there. There's a couple of them. I think there's two of them. Hilltop makes the best matches.
Shout out Hilltop.
Yeah. Maybe you can do a live get your coffee, get your day at Hilltop. Or a coffee shop. That would be very cute.
That would be cute.
Yeah.
I love that. Good idea.
Do you want to join me? My idea is just spinning.
Yes. You want to collaborate and work together?
I would love to
co-host with you. And go to a coffee shop with me?
Perhaps, yeah, I'd be down in the new year, not this year. Seen that tweet that's like, we're getting back to circle back at the beginning of the year time?
Yes, circle back January 2023. Cool, see you then. I was home for a couple speaking engagements last week, and you'll know this because, you know, living in DC, mm-hmm. New York, all places, the fall, like, it's just so beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
And it's also, speaking of ends, it's like that first reminder of like the year is coming to an end and mm-hmm. you can feel everything slowing down. And I am so excited just for, you know, the holidays to be at home and stop. Yeah.
To stop. Rest.
Stop.
Yeah. To reflect, honestly. Yes. That's been my favorite thing to do since October, or even just before October, because my birthday was October 1st. And I was just reflecting a lot. And I think the fall and the winter are so good for reflecting and just like being still and just like just stopping. Yeah.
Where can we find you on social media? LinkedIn. What platforms do we? I love LinkedIn.
You love LinkedIn. I haven't updated my LinkedIn in 3 years, but I probably should. Maybe I will after this call. I am at TayllUre across platforms. That's Twitter, Instagram. The girl's trying to have a TikTok presence. I want to be like Gen Z. I really do.
I'm trying to have one too. Do you feel... should we do that together?
What were you going to say? Do you feel?
Well, are you wanting to like do the dances?
No, absolutely the fuck not. I refuse to do the dances.
I refuse to do the dances too.
I refuse to do the dances. We should be accountability partners because I feel like that's what I really need is just like, did you post this week? And like, you know, or like, are you going to post next week?
Are we posting once a week?
I think my cadence, I would like to get to posting to 3 times a week would be really nice. Yeah, that would be really good for me. And a great tool, I don't know if you subscribe to Later's blog, I'll forward it to you, but every week I notice that they have like a rundown of like the trending sounds. So I'll pick like a trending sound that feels like what I want to talk about and lay that under the video. But the video is just like what the fuck I want to talk about. I only did this one time, but this is what I would like to grow into. This is my goal.
Let's do that because I would like that to be my goal as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like it's cluttered. I don't want to be pointing at shit and dancing. It's not me. It's very inauthentic. And I'm very, very intentional about being authentic and showing up authentically in spaces. I was inauthentic for college. I don't need to be inauthentic as an adult. But yeah, that's my goal.
I'll do that goal with you because mine is also, I'm trying to have not only an entertaining quality to mine, but an educational quality.
Exactly. A takeaway. We have a takeaway?
Exactly. I'm not trying to like.
There's enough. Yeah. There's enough mush. We don't need any more mush.
No. Meaningful content.
And if you don't have it, that's fine. But why would we, you know, why would we flood a channel with nothingness when you can just show up and like actually have something for people to take away? And also I want to empower people to like, I don't need to teach you everything. You already know a lot. These are just like affirmations and reminders for you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Simplicity. I think people overlook simplicity. I was giving in one of my talks, I know I keep referencing that, but it's just so fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that I talk about are mindfulness practices, mental health toolkit, and they seem really elementary. And actually, I had a student kind of challenge me, not in a negative way, but ask me like, well, are you going to involve this more? And I had to think about it. And I was just like, no, I actually believe in these and I believe in the simplicity of these. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people are so quick to overlook like what may seem easy or what may like come intuitive to them to mm-hmm. rush to get something to something more complex. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I actually think if you focus on like the simple daily things, that's where you can actually make a difference.
Exactly. And then that might evolve into something else, but you can't start like here. You have to start like very small and be reminded to start small, like mm-hmm. baby steps. Truly, you're not born walking and running. Like you have. So, yeah.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too. When is this coming out? What are we? It's so exciting.
Scorpio season, baby.
Wow. How aligned.
Yeah. It's going to be on the, I think you said the 16th, 13th, 14th. I think it's Wednesday the 16th. I could be getting that date completely wrong.
And so are you doing weekly or?
Monthly.
Mm-hmm. Yay. I love that. Ooh, that feels like it sticks with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't overcommit to weekly right now. I tried to do that before, but I was like, I can't sustain this. So I just figured.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. Monthly.
It's a lot.
It's good for right now.
Well, good. I'm so excited to hear this and watch the show grow and your community grow. And I love just watching you show up in spaces and speak and do all the things. Honestly, it's really refreshing and inspiring. So, and thank you for having me as your first guest on this new podcast.
I love it. I couldn't think of a more perfect one.
Oh, I love it. No, thanks, Britt.